This morning, I titled the sermon, Back to the Beginning, because that is the emphasis that 1 John gives us. He gives us a picture once again of the basics and the foundation of our Christian faith. And the big idea this morning, the big thing I want you to walk away with, is that in order to walk in faith, in order to walk in this life on a daily basis with your Savior, you have to go back to the basics of remembering who our Savior was. And that is what 1 John does in this opening beginning of 1 John chapter 1. Is he reminds us of our Savior. And John is a perfect person to write this about. This is what he writes about in the beginning of his book of the Gospel of John. There's not an introduction to this book, as there wasn't much of an introduction in the book of John. And yet it's called an epistle, even though there's no greeting to any specific church. There's no closing in this letter. But it's most likely a letter that was written in modern-day Turkey. John would have been based out of Ephesus in his latter days as well. If you think of the book of Revelation, was also written by John to the seven churches. That was the area of Western Turkey, close to Ephesus, reminding these churches to hold fast to what was true. And John writes to a general population of churches here in the book of 1 John. And he begins with who Jesus is, because we have to always be reminded again of the person of Jesus Christ, to walk this walk. He starts with the basics of Christ, and this leads to discussion of obedience and what our walk looks like. And 1 John ends with a reminder that we are all on a journey toward a destination. He reminds us of eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I say Him alone because at this time, the culture of 1 John was there was beginning teachings happening. This would have been the latter part of the first century in the 90s AD, where this idea of our knowledge, what we know, is the highest standard, the highest bar. It's what's called Gnosticism. 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 And it was this idea that the spiritual was what was good. The mental, the thought process was virtuous. The body and the physical and what you could touch was actually evil. And so you might process this or think this through, and it would lead to, well, what about Jesus Christ? What about what these Christians are proclaiming? We believe that intellect and knowledge is of the highest good, that we're to pursue that above all else, that our intellect is even greater than what this Jesus proclaimed. Not only that, though, they were denying that Jesus came as a real person, because they would say, well, maybe he came in spirit, but how could the Son of God come in body form if the body is evil? And you could see this twisting of the truth. Oh, well, then Jesus must not have had a real body because the physical is evil. He must have just been a phantom, an appearance. And there were some forms of religions that came out of this. But this is why 1 John speaks back to the basics of Do you know Christ? Do you know who he is? John proves in this book that Jesus was a real person. He begins right at the outset, and we'll look at that in the first few verses. But he talks of this real person sought a people to follow him. And this real person has changed our hearts. And when we change our hearts, obedience follows. And this Jesus who changes hearts creates a people that follows him and obeys him and loves him. And I know 1 John, all of us would say, well, the greatest emphasis is love. And I would agree that John harps and highlights this idea that God so loved us, and in turn, we love him. And what I think John is trying to get to the heart of is what we believe is about a person and a relationship. It's not about what we write down on paper. It's not about what we read in books. It's not about the intellect and saying we have the greatest knowledge and oh, just talk to me and I will tell you all that you need to know. That wasn't the greatest thing to pursue. The greatest thing that ever came was a person who wanted a relationship of love. And this relationship leads to a life of obedience, a life that God seeks for us, and ultimately eternal life, as the end of 1 John points us to that eternal reality. But I'm just going to read the first few verses of 1 John and then give you five truths of what and who Jesus was. So John begins 1 John by saying, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." That which was from the beginning, we've heard with our ears, we've seen with our physical eyes, we've looked upon and have touched with our hands. Maybe as 1 John, as John is trying to combat this idea that Jesus wasn't physical. We touched him. We saw him eat concerning this word of life. And I think it's only appropriate as John opens this epistle of his, 1 John, with the same phrase, "that which was from the beginning," that we would look back into his gospel in the book of John. Because John begins almost with this same phrase, "in the beginning," in the beginning. Jesus is the only Savior, and he is a person, he is real. And I pray that this book helps you to see and be convinced of what you believe, that it is true. There's a lot of contrasts in the book of 1 John between darkness and light, between the spirit of truth and the spirit of lies, the spirit of the Antichrist, between saying we do not have sin and confessing our sin, between hating our brothers and knowing the love of God. We're going to look at those contrasts as we go through this book. But the first thing that is highlighted, even in the book of 1 John that we see here in the book of the Gospel of John, is that Jesus was light. John saw the light. Look at verses 4 and 5 of the Gospel of John. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And he says a similar thing in 1 John 1:5 through 7, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. John says, I saw the light, and this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is our light. And we may not go around and use that phrase, but I hope you understand the purpose of why John writes in that way. He illumines us the truth. He brings us out of confusion and desperation and discouragement and what John says is darkness. And he reveals to us truth. He shows us reality. He pierces to even our hearts to say we would confess ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. That is all light. It's showing us what really is. Jesus said over and over again in the Gospels, light has come into the world, yet people love the darkness rather than the light. John 3:19. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I love Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He actually uses that as a quality. You are light. Remember Matthew chapter 5? You are lights like a city set on a hill. You can shine. As a ship goes to port and he sees that hope of light in the distance, of a place to rest, a place to find safety from the storms at sea, he calls you lights shining on a hill, a beacon of hope for those who need a foundation, a place to rest. We have that message of rest and of hope. We are also called lights. John saw the light, and we're going to look at what this meant in his book of 1 John in future sermons. But he wasn't just light. John saw the loving one. And he writes about this over and over in the book of John in his gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. John 13:1 says, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus is the example of perfect love for us. And that love was shown by him in the garden, crying out to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross on our behalf. And he spread his arms out to say, this is how much I love you. And my love will not let you down. You can enter into his love if you trust in him by faith. Romans 5:8 talks of this. Romans 5:8 says, God showed us his love for us in that we, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in this book of 1 John, this theme of love, we're going to see over and over. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. In 1 John 3:1, that we should be called children of God. And 1 John, as a writer, he uses this word children over and over again. maybe to remind us that we need a master. We are the ones being taught. We have to be careful what we believe, and we need to sit under the right teacher. And we need to hear from our Father. Again, this is a relationship we're in. We're the children. He is our Father. We sit and hear His truth. He gives us the truth. He is our teacher. We are the pupil. We are all little children, as John titles us. And of course, 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. We're going to highlight that as well. John tells us that Jesus was light, He was love, He was truth. Look here in John chapter 1 in the gospel, it speaks of Jesus not just being light, not just being the loving one, the true light that comes into the world, but He was the truth. Verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. He, Jesus, has made Him, God the Father, known. He is the true one. What He has spoken is true. What He has promised is going to come to pass. And in this context of 1 John, there were these beliefs being spread all around of Gnosticism, of knowledge being the highest good, of Jesus. Was He truly real? Was He truly good? Was He truly perfect? His body must have been evil, even if His spirit was good. There was all this teaching going around. John writes to beware of false teachers. He calls them false Christs, antichrist, promising to have the hope and the truth, and yet having a message that was a lie. But John brings us back to who Jesus was. No, He was the truth. We can walk daily, this Christian walk, when we keep our eyes close to Jesus, when we spend time listening to what He said in the Gospels, and when we trust in Him that the promises He gave and the promises that are in the Word of God are true. They will come to pass. Remember John 14, 1, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6, I'm sorry. I think I said John 14, 1, John 14, 6. And do you remember the gift that He gave, which we spoke about when He left? John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit would speak as the true one, Jesus, would tell Him to speak, and He would guide us into all truth. We can be assured that we are following the true one, Jesus Christ. John saw the light. John saw love through Jesus. John saw the truth. John saw the life. And this is kind of the phrase we see in 1 John carried over from where John originally began in the Gospel of John in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus by personality, by his perfection, by being God, he was life. I hope you kind of, at least for me, I've seen the miracles in this light, that it only makes sense that when Jesus spoke, that someone would be healed, or when someone touched him. Remember that story? The lady who had been sick for 12 years just reached out and touched him. And it says in the text, she was healed. Because Jesus is the life. He spoke life. He was life. He could touch and heal and bring life back from death. He could cure the things that were broken and sick. He is the true life. You know what's interesting too? There's not a lot of testimony in church history of many false teachers being able to do miracles like Jesus did, to even speak and something would happen, to be touched. And we're seeing that even still today, that messages are going out that say, just touch this, just speak this, just send us your money. And we have to be very discerning and careful, because messages are still being said, I can heal you. I can solve all your problems. Just do this or just do that. We have to be centered in only one who is the life, and that is Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 4:20 through 21 tells us that truth is in Jesus. It says to run from that which is not true, and to cling to the one that you have heard, and the one that taught you, the one who taught you the truth. It is only found in Jesus, Ephesians 4:21. We're going to learn in 1 John that Jesus is the truth, and what we need to do is hold fast to what is true, and that truth is found in only one, Jesus Christ, and in the Word of God. As Jesus came from God the Father, the Word of God is the letter given to us from God the Father concerning himself, concerning the Son, concerning the Spirit. This is the truth, and there is no other. And fifth, John saw the light. He saw the loving one. He saw life. He saw the Son of God. That life was the Son of God. He was the Word, and he was with God, and the Word was God, says John 1:1. John 3:16, the verse we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. The connection of the Father to the Son. Jesus was the Son of God. And 1 John, we're going to see this over and over again. That was part of what he was trying to convince this Christian church and these area churches to remember, that Jesus came from God. He can be trusted. He is the life and the light and the truth because he came from God. He is God's own Son. He is from the Father sent to us. Jesus is the only one, and there is no other to believe. And we're going to see as 1 John breaks out in the truth, this person who is Jesus Christ, that he's calling us to follow him, walk with him, obey him. And out of that obedience, out of that relationship, comes a changed life that loves. a changed life that loves God and loves others. Because we have first been loved by the Son. And to hold fast to the truth that life, eternal life, can only be found through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It can be found nowhere else. And in that day, and even now in our day, that is the message we have to hold on to and teach and proclaim to others. There is only life found in one, because there are many messages and many saviors being proclaimed. This will satisfy and save you. This will rescue you out of your situation. This is the solution. And yet our message is, there's only one solution. Coming to the feet of Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as Savior, holding fast to the person of Jesus, the Son of God. He is our light. He is our life. He is everything to us. He's the truth. He shows us what true love looks like. And He is what we need to hold fast to. Didn't have a lot of time to unpack the beginning, but I'm looking forward to this book with you as we look at the Son of God, as we look at the foundation of our faith, as He teaches us what is true and how to spread that truth in love and in light to a world that's in darkness and that has lies swirling around in every area of communication. And there are people saying, well, what is true? Tell me the truth. We have that. And I want you to be convinced of that as we work through this book of 1 John, that we have the truth. And that true message is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.